Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Today, if you would turn to Galatians chapter 4, and we're going to kind of camp there today. In turn. Galatians chapter 4, the first five verses, 1 through 5. Last week, I talked about label and identity. And shared, as I said earlier, you know, we tend to define ourselves based on the label we give ourselves, right? If I'm a sinner, I'm going to act in a certain way if I define myself that way. If I look at myself and define myself as a saint, I'm going to present myself and act in a certain way. I want to continue our discussion on identity. Today I want to talk about attitude and identity. Our attitude and identity. And you'll see how this is going to play out. This is Paul writing to the church in Galatia. Beginning verse 1, we're going to read 1 through 5 and then we'll unfold it. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now the heir, the word heir here, we're referring to us as Christians, us as the saints, right? And on a very simplistic view, he's talking about Christ. That in God's appointed time, he's referring to the church. We're like children who went in God's appointed time, sent his Son, Christ, that brought us into full maturity in his spirit through him, right? That's a very, very simplified analysis of that plain view. But it goes a little deeper than that. I want to look at two points here. First is the reality. He begins by saying, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, as long as he is a child, does not differ from his slave. Okay? So what's the inference here? Well, let's understand something. He calls an heir. An heir. Even though he is master of all, he continues to say, is still under guardianship. Therefore, in Christ, his observation, his view of your position never changes as an heir. Think about that. When a son or daughter is born to a king, the king never says, oh, that's not a prince or a princess. They are the heir. So from the king's perspective, your position, your intended position and place is never changed from his perspective. So his intent, his purpose is to train you up to fulfill the role of a prince or princess into a king and queen. Your position never changes. Your authority in him, based on his perspective of you, never changes. But how you wield that authority is based on you and me. Okay? Let's look for a second. You can have somebody come in as your supervisor at work who has authority and position. How they wield that authority, whether they're a dictator, whether they're ruthless, whether they're backstabbing, whether they're going to work you to the ground, or whether they're sympathetic, whether they're caring, whether they're team-oriented, team-building, that's on them. That's their attitude. But from your employer's perspective, they're still your supervisor. That position doesn't change. Okay? So from God's perspective, you and I, as sons and daughters, we are heirs. Our position is that we belong in the palace. We are royalty in his eyes, right? That doesn't change. But our perception of our position is the issue here. Our perception, our attitude towards our position. And that has to everything to do with our spiritual maturity and growth. See, he also says, as long as he is a child. He doesn't say, when you were kids, referring to the past. He says, as long as he is a child. That indicates also has a present tense to it. What does that mean? That it has a present tense? And it doesn't say when he is a child? It means there's no time limitations. What does that mean? That means it's on me and you. See, God can't change our character. And within our character, a lot of times, is built in our attitude. That's something we lay at his altar. God takes away our sins. God washes us clean. God removes the guilt and the shame off of us. God gives us his spirit to move forward. He gives us his gifts and his fruit. He gives us everything we need to move forward. But how we move forward in him is based on our character, which has a lot to do with our attitude. Okay? So as long as he is a child, if I choose, in other words, if I choose to remain immature, I'm going to behave in a certain immature way. Therefore, I'm going to have guardians and stewards over me. In a way. And I'll show you how that works out. See, you are a child until you're ready to grow up and mature. So that puts a choice on me. I can be saved and be a very immature Christian right now. Very immature Christian. I can believe in Jesus with all my heart, mind, and soul. He saved my life. He's the Son of God. He died for my sins. He took away my guilt and shame. But I'm still going to have the old attitude. I'm going to keep parts of the old man alive. I'm going to do what I want to do, how I want to do it. I'm going to judge people. I'm going to treat people the way I feel like treating them. I'm going to see people the way I see them, not through Christ's eyes. You know, and I can go on, and these are just real simple examples that off the top of my head. But I can be completely saved, go into heaven, written in the Lamb's book of life, but still be immature. Not walking in the fullness of faith. Not walking in the fullness of his grace and his power. Really understand what grace means. Not, you know, his grace, that means I can do whatever I want to and just it'll be okay. I understand what it cost. What it cost to have the grace that he's given me. So I can be mature. I'm sorry, somehow we lost this, and I'm going to put this back on. Just want to make sure I apologize for that. I don't know what happened here. Yeah. So I can be that way and still get to heaven, but that's not what God has for me. That's not what an heir has, right? An heir recognizes what comes with their position, especially as they mature. I mean, even King Solomon, he was 12 years old, I think it was, when he took office as king. But his mom was kind of reigning till he was ready, of age, and ready to do it. So it's up to me to grow. It becomes a choice at some point to grow up or stay childish. And it denotes our mental, emotional, and spiritual status from our perspective, right? from our perspective. It shows where we're at. And remaining childish is still a choice. Just as maturing then becomes a choice. So my attitude here, based on my identity, you know, with this reality check, is I need to realize that I'm not going to wake up one day and be spiritually mature. There involves something on my part that's going to help me grow into maturity. I have to exercise disciplines in my life to choose to mature. Part of that discipline is humbling myself. Part of that discipline is making commitments to certain things that God has for me, to saying yes to Him instead of making excuses and saying no. Another part of that is saying no to the things I need to say no to. I have to choose to grow. I have to choose to engulf myself in, I'm going to use this term, spiritual training, if I'm going to mature. I have to do this if I'm going to grow. How many of us know people who might be 30, 40 years old, but they've been emotionally stunted because of things in their lives that they have not worked through yet? Right? Guess what? I'm one of those people. Okay? Things come up in my life, areas, specific areas in my life that my wife and I have to work through. If not a monthly basis, at least every other week something comes up. Because as I mature and go to the next level, something deeper is revealed that needs to be healed and worked on, right? And I thank God for that. And I was telling my wife this morning, I'm thankful for her because she'll tell me things I don't want to hear. The enemy doesn't want me to accept. Okay? So I have to make that choice to mature because in my maturity, my identity comes into full fold. I can remain a child, ignoring certain things. That means when I reign or rule over something, I'm going to rule as a child. So when somebody puts their trust in me, in something, I'm not going to be taking them very far. And in fact, I might even end up hurting their spiritual maturity and growth. Stunt it. Because I chose to remain childish. Okay? Think about that. Think about us as parents. If we're acting like our 16-year-old, are they going to grow up and mature? Are we going to influence them? It's a choice we make to grow, to commit to the things of God, to tell Holy Spirit, I will walk with you, show me. And here's a clear sign of maturity, and this has been very true in my life. As a child, when I was rebuked, and I'm talking about as a grown adult, a spiritual child, when I was rebuked in some things, I didn't want to hear it. It upset me. I became defensive and angry about it. Why? Because pride welled up. As I am maturing, when things come up, now I receive it in a spirit of humility. I embrace it more. Instead of saying, and I'm just going to use my wife because that's our relationship, as you're attacking me, I'm looking at it as you have the best interest for me because you love me and Christ is in you and Christ is building our marriage together. Therefore, you're speaking life into a dead part of my life. Maturity into an immature part of my life. That I need to then act by laying it before Jesus, repenting for it, again, changing my mind, and blessing myself, receiving what God wants to pour out so I can grow. receiving the being fed by his fruit so I can mature in his nourishment in those things. So it's my choice. My choice to grow or to stay. Second part of this, first was the reality, which we just went into, is the expectation. What's the expectation here? Well, he says towards the end in verse 4 and 5, even so, when we were children, I'm sorry, I lost my place here. Oh, verse 3. Even so, when we were in bondage under the elements of the world, even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. So now he went from present tense, like as if you're immature now, so there's an expectation of maturity now. So he's saying, when we were children. So the expectation here is that children are meant to grow, not to be stunted. That as spiritual children, we are expected by Holy Spirit, by Father God, in Christ Jesus and what he did, to grow. That's the expectation here. Expectations that we're supposed to be mature have matured at some point. Because while we were children, we were under bondage. We needed restraint. We needed limitations. Bondage, the literal meaning of this word in Greek is it's a rudiment, it's an element, it's a rudimentary principle, fundamental thing. There's elements of religious or cultural training and precepts. What that basically means is it's very basic principles. Your boundaries, your barriers to operate in were very basic because that's all you can handle as a child. Think about it. We don't sit there with a, you know, in children's church and do a hermeneutical Bible study. And if you don't know what that word is means, you don't need to worry about it. Okay? Because we don't do it. It's basically really breaking down the Word of God heavily into core and whatever. We don't do that with them. We teach them, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves the little children. We teach them Noah's Ark and his faithful. We teach them about the birth. We teach them about Genesis. We don't go into the depth of what was in Cain's heart when he killed Abel. We don't do that. So imagine a 30, 40, 50-year-old Christian who's still saying, Jesus loves me, this I know. Okay? That's the inference here. As we grow, our barriers, our boundaries are meant to expand. And what does that mean? Scripture talks about expanding your territory. When a child is a baby, they have their crib. When they start to move around more, you put them in a little bigger area like a playpen. As they get older, you gate off one room. Because why? They find safety and security in the boundaries that is set for them. And that's what they're allowed, they're entrusted to work in. And sometimes even then, you're still watching them like a hawk because you just never know. Because of their childish ways. So as a Christian, do I want to stay in a playpen? Or am I ready to be free, who the Son sets free is free indeed, to do everything that God has for me to do? You know, we want to cry freedom, I'm free in Christ, yet we're in self-bondage because we're immature. I can't be free in Christ fully to the fullness if I'm not aware what freedom looks like. Okay? I might think, oh, I have one room. I'm free in this room. How great does that feel? But you know what? The ice cream is in the kitchen. And when I taste the ice cream, I'm going to get in the kitchen. Martha Ellen figured out there's chocolate in the freezer. So every day now, I want freedom of access into the fridge. She goes up pointing to that. But that's what we're talking about here. As we can be entrusted in the Holy Spirit to do more, we will not need bondage and guardians over us, because those are self-imposed for our self-preservation bondage. Okay? From a spiritual perspective, God will release us as He empowers us, as we allow Him to entrust in us things. He will release us as He empowers us when we allow Him to entrust us in those things, as our character, our spiritual maturity begins to grow, as we begin to take new ground, expand new ground in faith, right? In faith. And sometimes that new ground means doing something I've never done before, but I'm going to trust You, Lord. I mean, you guys know, I'm not a handyman, but now I have more confidence in different areas because I YouTubed it, I did my due diligence, I whatever, quote, training I could do. Now I've learned to do certain things. I can tweak my dryer to a certain degree and made it run for 6 months longer than it, you know, was going to for a while. That's new ground. But you have to step into it in faith. Ministry is exactly the same way. Spiritual maturity is the same way. When God says, I want you to do this for Me, or I'm putting this on your heart, our initial reaction is going to be, uh-oh. Spiritual maturity says, Lord, wow, You're entrusting Me with this? Okay, I will do it in You. And temps, it's like removing a gate off a new room that now the baby has access to. You're now trusting them in a new area. Spiritual maturity is equated with having stronghold and bondage in one form or another that are based on specific modes of life training. What do I mean by that? It means the things that we've encountered in our life, life training, everything that we are today based on the way we have grown up and how our environment has impacted our mental state, determines our maturity, because a lot of that has not been laid at the foot of the cross yet and has not been sacrificed to Jesus. I just shared with my wife this morning. I mean, lots happened this morning. I'm thankful. And you know what? I'm going to just remove the veil and tell you something right now. Had this message done on Sunday, on Friday, but had no clue what this message was about. Had no clue. Every time I looked at it, I'm going, Lord, this doesn't make any sense. You gave me this stuff, and I am clueless to this stuff. But this morning, it's a lot of work my wife and I did at home this morning, but with some stuff. And I remember the veil, things lifting off of me because of that. So when I looked at my notes this morning, all of a sudden, it made sense. It made complete sense. And I remember telling my wife, there's one of the thoughts that Holy Spirit showed me that I had, that I had embraced as one of my core thoughts in a way. And it had to do when I was a teenager. That, you know, back in the day, I struggled to meet women and have dating relationships. So, you know, I was rejected so many times that I just, the thing that I used to say to myself, I've been rejected so much that I've accepted it, or that I'm used to it. So I would kind of poo-poo it. Just used to it. No big deal, right? Wrong. It is a big deal. Because what I did is I partnered with that thought of rejection. I accepted that thought of rejection. So I had to rebuke that and lay that down this morning. Because that now, you know, 20, 30, 40 years later was haunting me in different ways because that was never dealt with before. So this was an area of maturity that I needed to grow in. And I thank the Lord, new ground was taken in my life this morning. But that ground that was taken opened up my eyes that was veiled about what I'm sharing with you today. All of a sudden, everything makes sense. Didn't before that. And I'm just being very vulnerable and honest with you right now. This is This is real stuff. We're all going through this today. You know, so what's going on in your life, God wants to work in to help you get to the next level, to grow. That's what he wants. He wants us. His expectation is that we grow. But we can grow with anger and bitterness and guilt and a specific attitude and a way of doing life and going through life. Or we can lay it at the cross and say, Lord, I'm going to walk with you. And yes, I'm still going to have that pull sometimes to go in certain ways. But I recognize that now. And I see your pull pulling me back. And I'm going to do everything I can to lay that before you so I can get pulled back by you. Okay? That's the attitude we need to grow into. That's a mature attitude. A childish attitude is kicking and screaming, no, no, no. I don't want to do this. You know, Martha Ellen needs a bath every day or every other day, or she's going to stink it up. But she doesn't want to go in the bath, but you know what? Maturing is throwing her in the tub. That's all part of it. It all works together. That's part of life. We're stuck in a worldly pattern. The only way to get unstuck is in Christ. Okay? Why? Because he's the one who heals those areas. Not puts a Band-Aid on them. Right? Not just puts a Band-Aid on them. Not shoves them in a closet somewhere. Brings complete and full healing to this area so we can get past it. Now, we know how the enemy works, and just like I shared earlier this morning, you know, he'll try to come back in different ways. But once you know the schemes of the enemy, like in Ephesians 6, you know how to shut him down. That's why it was important for me to come up here and shut him down right away. Okay? You shut him down. Because he has no place in this land. Okay? This is the Lord's land. And I'm talking about my life, your life, our family. He has no place in this land. And we have to, he's like a, you know, a coyote trying to get on a farm all the time or something. We got to shoo him out every now and then, okay, and kick him off this land. But here's another key element to this. At the very end in verse 5, he says, to redeem, that Christ came to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. A big part of maturity is simply this, is willing to be adopted. Not being adopted, willing to be adopted. Okay? Accepting our adoption status through redemption. See, Christ already signed the adoption papers. But some of us are struggling to go and live in that household. Okay? I think of Despicable Me, the first movie. For those that saw it, you know, the three girls, he adopts them, but they weren't willing to be adopted till when they found out that what his original plans were. But then, when they saw how much they were loved, how his heart changed, and they were loved by him, now they made the choice to be adopted into his household. Okay? Go watch the movie. It's cute if you haven't. Especially now since nobody's out. Go rent it or get a DVD. But it still had to be their choice, because you can be a resistant household member or you can be a family member. Okay? You can be an angry, childless child in your father's house with a rebellious spirit, kicking and screaming, with an attitude, and I think I just named every teenager we know. Or we can be part of the family, embracing and thankful that we've been adopted in the situation we're in, that we have access to everything in our Father's house. Ephesians 3:1, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places are available to us in Christ Jesus. We have access to it all, and we have the love of the Father and the authority and power of the Father to do this. And when we walk with him, There's no ground we can't take. There's no land we can't expand when we are with him, maturing with him in different areas of our life. There's no greater mentor than Christ. I think it's Bill Johnson that says, Jesus is perfect theology. There's no better theology than Jesus. Just look at his life. He is the perfect mentor. Perfect. And Christ only did what he saw the Father doing, spoke what he saw the Father speak, heard the Father speak. He acted as his Father acted. What was established in heaven, he brought to earth, and that's our job. And maturity, we see an act of maturity in Christ when he was in the garden and he said, not my will, but yours be done. He said, take this cup from me, but if that's not your will, I'm ready to go. That's maturity. That's new ground. Guess what? I don't know if you realize this, but salvation through a sacrifice of the Lamb of God had never been done before. So that was new ground that Jesus just took. Okay? Remember, yes, he was fully God, but he was also fully man. Okay? He was fully man like you and I. But his humanity was submitted to the fatherhood of his heavenly Father. So he took new ground, and it's because of the ground he took, we're able to take the ground we are able to take today. So, would you stand with me right now? Thank you, Lord. 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 Just position yourself in that receiving position right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We're going to do a couple of things, and then in a little bit we're going to just pray in groups of twos and threes over each other since we are a small group today. First thing, Father, we just repent for those times that we have been immature and as rebellious teenagers in your home. We change our mind about our childish ways. And Father, we are choosing to grow in you right now. We're choosing to be adopted by you, to accept that you adopted us fully, and choose to be faithful members of your family, Jesus. Turning away from, quote, our alternate families in this world. And that can take in many forms. Those you run around with, actions we take that make us, quote, feel good for the moment. We find our rest, our peace, our strength, our hope, all we have in your home, household, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. And Holy Spirit, would you bring a revelation right now into each one of us? What we can lay right now, right here, at your altar, once and for all, that would help us to take new ground in maturity in you right now. Right now, Jesus. Right now, Lord. Help us to do that right now, Jesus.